Well, welcome everybody. Happy Tuesday morning. And it's a fantastic, another fantastic episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast, episode 44. And I have the legendary Edward Zia here with me. And we're going to be chatting about resilience, positivity, and identifying opportunity. So I'm really excited to have Ed because I'm a big fan. And I've been following Ed religiously on LinkedIn, and he's a very strong influencer. So for anybody who doesn't know Ed, I'm going to give you a little introduction, even though he doesn't need one. Now, Edward Zia loves creating master persuaders and influencers. Ed's a marketing mentor, certified practice marketer, and market master coach, and has mentored thousands of winners globally to help them get more clients, win top positions, and become leading personal brands. Prior to starting his own company, Excellence Above Coaching, he started his working career in the Australian Army as a combat engineer. He was grateful to be invited to work in the federal government on special projects, drug enforcement, fighting organized crime, and preventing terrorism. Edward has lived many lives with incredible ups and downs, from being at the bottom of society and doing it tough, walking the mean streets, finding out information to protect the public, right through to managing teams of elite professionals and helping thousands build bigger businesses. So without further ado, welcome Edward Zia. How are you doing?
Oh, Darren, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the glowing introduction. I just want to say a big thank you to all our fans across the world. Couldn't do it without you. And if you're watching this, be it on Facebook, YouTube, wherever, I just want to say that you're handsome and beautiful.
I thought you were talking to me. Thank you.
Oh, including you, especially Darren Saul, plus our wonderful fans across the world who I appreciate so much.
Love it, Ed. Well done. Now, Ed, thank you so much for joining us. You're a busy guy, but I've managed to find a slot that works. And we're going to be chatting about mindset and how to use it as a fuel for success. Because I know that, you do a lot of presentations and speaking and you're a very strong influencer. And you talk about marketing, but I want to go in a slightly different direction. And I want to talk about the Edward Zia story and the Edward Zia journey and what makes Ed tick. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I did a bit of research and on your journey and on your story. And what's something that really strikes me is that you are always so resilient, positive, optimistic, high energy. Where does that come from, Ed?
Yeah, I get asked that actually every day. I've done whole webinars on the topic. And there's a lot of reasons, but I'll just give the top three just to make context to the audience. So I'll say the first thing is certainly being a man of faith. So, proud Christian, and I respect all religions, all different pathways to God. And for me, faith is an important thing. So whatever you believe in, that is very important. I would say 80% of my success comes from that. So again... Wow. If you're feeling uncertain about your life or unstrong, my advice to you is become a person of faith. And again, as I said to you, Christian, I think Jesus is awesome, but whatever religion or whatever you believe in, I respect that. They're all different pathways to the same God and creator. So that's first thing, become a person of faith. Yeah. Second thing is choose to be happy. And third thing, consume at least 1 hour of positive motivational materials a day.
Fantastic. And how do you do that? In what form? What form do you like?
Yeah, I personally like YouTube. So I personally like watching videos on YouTube or watching videos on LinkedIn. So I'm not much of a reader. Okay. I'm actually an auditory learner. And for those, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, for those that have studied NLP or broadcasting, auditory means I learn well through audio.
Yep.
That is the way that I learn. So for example, when I don't like reading a book, but I love listening to audiobooks. That's just the way that my brain learns and processes information.
Me too. I love audiobooks and I love podcasts. And and they're so good because you can listen to them while you're doing something else and you can re-listen to them. I love those for that purpose.
Yeah, and the point I want to make to our wonderful audience is that learn in the way that works best for you. Because again, I'm not much of a reader. Reading is just not my learning style. It doesn't work for me. pick the learning style that works for you. If you like hard copy books, read them. If you like watching stuff on YouTube, do it. If you like audiobooks, do it. The point is you need to consume at least 1 hour of positive materials a day and practicing what I preach. Before Corona, I was doing that. And during Corona, I very much don't. And we've really, and full respect to, you know, health professionals and everyone out there being affected, we've really grown massively throughout Corona. Yep. Because of exactly those principles we've been practicing.
I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, it's so important to fuel yourself every day with positive messages, with messages of encouragement, with messages of motivation and inspiration. And I do the same thing. I get up every morning at 5:30. And my first 2 hours while I'm doing my social media and all my work and getting ready for the day, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm listening to audiobooks, and it just gets me in the right gear for the rest of the day. It sets the tone for the day. And if I don't do it, I feel a bit strange. I feel like I've missed something.
Yeah. And the answer is you have, because there's a lot of, you got to remember, there's a lot of negativity in the world. You've got the fake news just blasting out propaganda 24/7, yep. Right? And they're always in your ear. And you have a lot of negative influences out there. So unless you're intentionally pushing back on those negative influences, it's a hard one. And that always brings me back to why I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn, to me, when you look at the content in the feed, it's very, very high quality. Yes. You don't get the fake news. You don't get that weird narrative that a lot of the, you know, the leftist media is pushing 24/7. You get a much more real view of the world because it's actually people sharing their opinions. And the LinkedIn editors are very balanced, great people. So, you know, I get a lot of my insight as well from LinkedIn. So besides being an influencer on LinkedIn, I'm also a very strong end user of LinkedIn as well.
And he definitely is. You've got in the order of 35, 38,000 followers. Is that right?
I wish it was that high. Well, it depends. So yesterday we crossed 30, on my personal page, I crossed 34,000 followers, yeah, which is great, yesterday. Our company page is almost 8,000. Our group is 2,800. And Lassie, big shout to Lassie, my wife, she crossed 22,000 recently. So Lassie is Lassie's on the war path, and she's, if I'm not careful, she's going to take out my position. And good on her if she does. She's growing very quickly.
Yeah. And I was actually on a webinar that Ed was presenting last night, and he was telling us his journey in building that following. And you've built something like 20,000 followers in about a year, which is incredible.
Yeah, so long story short, so I've been on LinkedIn for 10 years, right? But I use it more as a resume. In terms of using it as a proper influencer, I really started last February. So not this February, the February before. So about 14, 15 months.
Incredible.
And yeah, when you get your content strategy right and you're sort of posting at least 3 times a day, that's when you really take off. Because it was interesting, and you'll appreciate this, Darren, and you'll appreciate this, because I know, Darren, you're a very smart and woke guy. You know what's going on. You're very red-pilled, I can tell.
Thank you, mate.
When I started off on LinkedIn, I was just given so much misinformation by so-called people that knew everything. So much misinformation. And some of it was appalling. The misinformation included LinkedIn doesn't work on Saturdays. Saturdays are my biggest days.
Absolutely. Right? It works. Yes.
Oh, you can't post more than once a day on LinkedIn. I post 10 times a day sometimes, quite often actually.
Yep.
And you won't believe this, and this is the most horrible thing I've heard. I was even told by these same people that, and a lot of people say is that women don't use LinkedIn.
Where on earth is this coming from?
Oh, a lot of people, it's just complete, you know, sexist BS, right? Anyway, the point I'm making is that I was fed a lot of lies and misinformation by a lot of out there. And it was like every week I disprove another lie I was fed.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And the point I want to make to the audience and everyone is, and I'll tell you now, as an influencer, I post about 10 times a day on LinkedIn, not counting shares. And it works great for me. Originally though, a lot of my growth from posting 3 times a day. So I started posting like morning, midday and afternoon. And that actually grew me very quickly. And then eventually, as I got more savvier, it was about before Christmas, I moved to like the more heavier YouTube-ish style strategy. The full on, the 10 times a day is that's the real sort of high-end content creator stuff, which is what I'm doing now, which is great.
And I 100% agree with you. Like if you're posting less than 3 to 5 times a day, you don't get your voice heard. You really need to be posting 3 to 5 times a day to cut through the noise. But the quality of your material has got to be strong as well. It's not about just posting for the sake of posting. It's got to be strong quality So it's quality and quantity, really.
Yeah. And the thing that I've learned is I've been practicing my one-liners. So if you look at some of the top influencers, they're really good at one-liners, yep. right? They do a one-liner post that'll get, you know, thousands of views. And I've been practicing my one-liners. So such as I did a post, got 2,000 views the other day and lots of engagement, was all my fans and followers are very beautiful, attractive people. Yeah. Hashtag Edward Deer, hashtag LinkedIn. That's the post, right? So literally just pop, out it goes.
You're the master. But now I want to take you back slightly. And in terms of, you know, what we're talking about, your superpowers or your gifts of resilience and energy and positivity and attitude, I mean, how have they given you opportunities over the years? How have they helped you identify opportunities and take advantage of those opportunities when you see them? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a good example was Corona. Now, when Corona started, and just for the sake of the audience, this interview is being done roughly mid-May or a little early May. That's coming towards the end of Corona. But at the start of Corona, everyone was nervous, me included. I was very nervous at the start of Corona. And I sat down with my wonderful wife, Lassie, and this is the upshot of the conversation. Two things are going to happen with Corona. We're either going to go bust or we're going to go big. There's no cruising right now. Yep. You either pick your side, right?
Love it.
You pick which side of the fence you're on. Are you on the losing team or are you on the winning team?
Perfect.
And no decision. And
my mate Gary Vee always says, are you on offense or are you on defense? And you've got to be on offense.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me is no answer is picking the losing team. So you either say I'm on the winning team and no answer means you're on the losing team. That's the way we look at it. Correct thinking. And I'll give you an example. So every day before Corona, I was growing maybe 20 or 30 fans a day, maybe 50.
Yep.
Now growing about 300 a day in a very, very short space of time.
Incredible.
Yeah. And the reason is because of that decision. So when Corona hit, I felt the same stress that everyone else does. Again, mortgage, two kids, sure. I've been homeless before, so I know what it's like. So I'm not some kind of weirdo, I'm feeling the same stress as everyone else. However, the difference was in the decision-making is how we're going to handle this. And we just went for it. And we've come through and out of Corona very well with a huge footprint. You know, so usually every 3 or 4 days, I'll go up another 1,000 followers, which is incredible.
Incredible. And I've been watching your journey and it's been... The rate in which you're growing and influencing is phenomenal. So well done, man. You're doing a great job.
And the point is, and bring it back to you and the audience, and you're amazing at this too, Darren, is that, you know, anyone can do it. The opportunity is available to everyone. So it's not like I'm some privileged elite
yes.
from California with a silver spoon in my mouth. Hey, I was a homeless veteran over 10 years ago. The opportunity that Lassie and myself were embracing, everyone has the same opportunity.
Awesome. Now, as a veteran, as someone that's been in the military, mm-hmm. what have you learned that has helped you in your day-to-day these days?
Heaps of things. A top lesson, and this is what I say to people, is you don't melt under pressure or you don't crack under pressure. So the idea is when you're not feeling right, when there's a lot of pressure, the idea is going quiet and smiling and keeping it all internal. Yep. And you've got to stay really centered and focused. So what I always say with people, be it people ex-police or ex-military, same thing for the sake yep. of the conversation.
Yep. I agree.
Veterans and ex-police tend to go one way or the other. When they leave, they either crash or they really take off. They tend to go one way or the other. They either become elite top performers
yep.
or they really suffer from what happened to them, including PTSD, which is what I originally done. I originally suffered from it
wow.
before I kind of became more of a performer.
Wow.
So, but it's that resilience and consistency that does well. And I know a lot of very successful business people who are ex-police and military. If you want to use an old classical example, Robert Kiyosaki, he was a Marine. You know,
I didn't know that he was a Marine. Fantastic.
Yeah, he was a Marine pilot. So whatever you are, be it. So and Robert Kiyosaki, I know it's a bit of a 90s reference here. Not many people talk about him anymore, but at least in his heyday, Robert Kiyosaki was one of the wealth guys of the 90s, at least.
That's right.
Yeah, he's an ex-Marine as a case in point. Wow. You get a lot of that.
And for everybody out there, I think Robert Kiyosaki wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if he's retired and said, I'm out of here. I'm just going to enjoy my life in Hawaii. But, you know, again, case in point, he was an ex-Marine and actually tells his story, his very positive story about the Marines and how that made him a good business person.
Wow. And I always like to reference that when I talk to Marines or ex-Marines or ex-military and ex-athletes.
Yeah.
And something that struck me is that ex-military and ex-athletes, when they don't have, you know, issues with PTSD or whatever else, tend to have this drive and this motivation and this mindset that allows them to be consistent and execute every single day without fear, without cracking, and they're relentless in their pursuit. And they always make, a lot of the time, they make great business people because of that.
Yeah. So a good example is, you know, Kathy Freeman. She's a Aboriginal athlete, Indigenous Australian Aboriginal athlete. Kathy Freeman's a great case in point, right? So Kathy Freeman, I haven't been following her lately, but I'm from Melbourne originally, so knew her a long time ago. Kathy Freeman, very famous Indigenous Aboriginal athlete. She was on quite a few boards and doing cool projects, and she'd be winning all the time. And athletes and military are very similar because, interestingly enough, an athlete lifestyle and a military lifestyle aren't too different. There's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, there's a lot of structure. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of self drive involved. You know, you're always competing against yourself as well because you have to, you know, take yourself to the next level constantly. And as well, you also have a sense, I suppose, of the team around you and working with the team. And that's, you know, that can help you in business as well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure on you as well. So be it you're in the state or federal policing, you're in the military or an athlete, there's a lot of pressure on you to perform. There's pressure on you 24/7. And like all things, and especially as an influencer, I can say this, you have a lot what we call social, and I know you know this one well, you're a very smart guy, Darren. And you know the term social pressure. So for example, if I bring you and I into it, you and I, Darren, we have a lot of social pressure on us, meaning we have thousands of people, tens of thousands of people that are constantly looking at us, right? So we're figures in the public spotlight. I said figure, that's right. We're figures in the public spotlight. So we have that social pressure applied to us as well.
That's right. And that's a really good point that you make. And I really believe that you just have to be yourself. So as long as you're being true to yourself and you're doing things your way and you're being authentic, then you don't have to worry about that. Just do whatever makes you happy, do whatever is true to you, and the audience will come to you and respond accordingly. And if some people don't like you because of how you are, that's fine. You'll get plenty of people that do. And you've certainly been a master at that, you know, in growing your following over the years.
Now, I've been trolled a lot lately because what happened was, I won't throw the conversation too much, but just so you know, a lot of you might have found out that I love Scott Morrison, our glorious Australian Prime Minister. And so long story short, I've known Scott for many years, whole another story outside this interview. And what happened was I started putting a few posts on LinkedIn just saying, I wasn't even saying I like Scott Morrison. I was just saying, here's Scott Morrison. And I was just using him as a case study.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So saying, here's Scott Morrison. I wasn't saying anything political, really. I was just simply saying, I think he's very effective for these reasons. And all these people were trashing me and trolling me.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. And as you saw in Rambo First Blood, the worst thing you can do, if you want to get an old homeless veteran to do something, the best thing to do is to torment them, right? The more they tormented me is the more I started posting about Scott Morrison. And because they were tormenting me so much, it went from me just sort of being, well, Scott Morrison's cool and here's some things, to Scott Morrison's glorious. He's the greatest prime minister ever. So the more they torment me is the more my love would heighten for Scott Morrison, the more I'd start doing it.
Hire you as his PR agent.
Oh, I got too much. And then what happened where it got really funny was I then made an announcement that I started a new series. I'm up to day 7 now, which is 30 days of my love for Scott Morrison, where every day I post a photo about Scott Morrison writing out how awesome he is. And it's gone viral. But what's interesting though, I've been trolled a lot, but not as much as you think. So the positivity and the trolling, it's probably 20 times positivity to one troll. And the trolls are all weirdos. They're not normal people. So when you see someone complimenting, it's a normal person. The people trolling look kind of like weird, disturbed sort of people.
Yeah. And as you say, I mean, you know, you've built an incredible following. So the people that are pro Edward Zia far more outweigh any negative influence or any troll activity. You know, so we don't even have to worry about it. Just get on, be yourself, be who you are. And if you continue consistently, you will always get to where you want to be.
And delete and block. You got to delete and block the trolls. I reckon I've had about maybe 400 trolls all up, maybe 400 or 500 trolls. But once you delete and block them, that's it. You won't see them again. So the delete and block functionality of LinkedIn is outstanding. So I got to say that part, well, I think LinkedIn's outstanding, but that delete and block, best function ever.
Awesome. Now, let's chat a bit more about what you do exactly. And I know that LinkedIn is a big part of it. You're a very, very strong LinkedIn influencer. So tell us more about what you do and, you know, how you help people in their journey.
Yeah, so I help people become master persuaders and influencers. And it's basically so they stand out in their industries. So clients and business and opportunities come to them.
Great. Okay. And how do you do that? What are the ways that you do that?
Yeah. A lot of sharing content, webinars, personal mentoring, education, online courses, public speaking. So yeah, multiple means of delivering the information to various people. And albeit this got delayed because of Corona, touch wood, my speaking career in the United States will hopefully take place towards the end of this year or next year. So that's also been on the, that's been a rising project as well, which has been good. Very excited about it.
Have you got a few, like you had a few potential bookings already?
I do, but of course they got shelved. But honestly, I reckon, to be honest with you, they'll probably take place next year, which I'm totally cool with. Whenever it happens,
fantastic. That is outstanding. I mean, and how have you pivoted in, as you mentioned before, you pivoted slightly during Corona to more online and webinar-based work, or have you done some other things as well?
Well, it wasn't so much a pivot. We were already heading in that direction. So we started pivoting online about 2 years ago.
Okay, great.
And Corona didn't, I suppose we technically didn't pivot. Corona forced us to double down. So Corona did not change our direction.
Okay.
It just added that extra level of intensity to it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So pivoting the right direction, but just need to take it to its extreme logical conclusion.
Awesome. And now you've got followers and contacts all over the world. Which are your strongest markets?
It's probably Australia, United States, and the UK.
Wow, outstanding. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And also emerging markets, we're doing very well in Dubai and Singapore, which is really good.
Wow. And do you find differences in the way people respond, or it's all pretty much across the board?
Identical. So the thing that has blown us away is, yes, there are, of course, local differences. So when I'm posting content, I'm thinking very globally. Yep. Right? Very globally. Even when I'm talking about Easter, for example, when I'm, let's say, talking about Easter, I'm being very careful thinking, you know, I've got a lot of wonderful clients in the Middle East and Islamic world.
Yep.
Even though I'm talking about Easter, I'm being mindful it is a Christian event. So I need to present it respectfully to the global audience, right?
Perfect. Absolutely. So you know,
But having said all that, everyone's identical. So whether I'm talking to someone in Singapore or Dubai or South Africa or the UK, everyone's actually identical, because ultimately, and I think this is what I love about LinkedIn. LinkedIn attracts a certain type of person, right? So you're already preaching to the choir. Everyone on LinkedIn is already part of a very similar ideology.
Exactly.
Because I'll use an example, right?
Yeah.
I get seen probably at least 30,000 times a day on LinkedIn.
Wow.
At least 30,000. I'm only getting trolled maybe 5 to 10 times a day. So when you say, oh my God, Ed got trolled 5 to 10 times a day, that's horrific. Not really, because if you think about it, out of 30,000 people, 30,000 views, I get trolled 5 times. It's zero, basically.
That's
as a percentage, minimal. It's nothing.
Negligible, absolutely. Well done.
And that's why I love LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is such a, it's such a great platform full of like-minded people, and the lunatics don't get very far. You know, LinkedIn in a way has its own immune system that sort of keeps those lunatics in check.
Okay. And that's actually a really good question. I mean, there are lots of great platforms, and I use a lot of different platforms. You tend to use LinkedIn very, very heavily. Why do you prefer LinkedIn to some of the others?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that. I used to, before LinkedIn sort of became the, you know, the powerhouse Microsoft machine is today, I used to spend a lot of time on Facebook, and it just never worked out for me. Facebook, the stuff I'm doing now on LinkedIn I tried about 4 or 5 years ago on Facebook and could never get there, right? And I kind of realized a lot of factors that, but kind of realized that, and this is what I've learned, especially as an influencer mentor, a marketing mentor, is that different people are suited to different platforms.
Agree, totally agree.
So, and you, I know you know that, and it's, you know, for example, some people, and you can't fit in all platforms, okay?
Yep.
You, it's just not the way things go, okay? Yeah, true. You will, everyone will have the platform that they gel with, right? And Facebook, I never really gelled with, okay?
Okay.
The platforms that made sense to me was always LinkedIn. But it was always LinkedIn. The other platforms sort of made sense to me, but LinkedIn was always the platform where I felt comfortable and I really felt like it really suited me. And it makes sense. And what I say to everyone is it's very important that you pick your primary platform. So I have a lot of respect for, like, you know, Facebook, you know, YouTube and Insta and all that. But they're my support platforms.
Yes. Okay, that's good. So in other words, you have your main primary platform and the other platform you use as a support mechanism to build something around, build a presence around.
Exactly. And there's a lot of reasons why I love LinkedIn. I mean, the people are great on there. It's owned by Microsoft. I think Microsoft's an amazing company. You know, it's, you can share lots of content. You get great reach. And talking mindset, as we said before, you get a lot of weirdos on the other platforms sharing, like, a lot of information. So, for example, one of the, and I'm not having a shot at Facebook here with respect to Facebook.
Sure.
And this is not, I'm not blaming Facebook on this one. Facebook are doing what they can, but there's been so much fake news on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And you don't get that on LinkedIn. Fake news flies like a brick on LinkedIn, whereas on Facebook, and again, not having a shot at Facebook, Facebook are trying to stamp this out. So full respect to Facebook Corporation. But just so much fake news on Facebook, blatantly fake news, especially around Corona, to the point where the Australian government, I got a lot of people on the inside, where the Australian government every day is contacting Facebook saying, can you please take this down? Can you take this down?
Right. So I didn't know. So the algorithms or the platforms actually search out and try to identify fake stuff and eradicate it. Is that how it works?
Sort of. What usually happens with a lot of fake news, right? Usually it gets reported. So let's say there's a fake article that comes up. So again, I don't want to go into specifics here or name anyone. So, you know, it's, you know, protecting my privacy. But what's happening is when Corona hit, Facebook, and again, not blaming Facebook, but Facebook, there was so much fake news being dumped on Facebook, fake stuff about Corona, right?
Yeah.
And some of it was just purely dangerous. And a lot of people in the government were very uncomfortable with this. And so quite often what happens is when there's fake news, you can report it on Facebook. And that doesn't mean the post will get removed. That means someone will check it out. But quite often the government would come across complete fake news and they would just contact Facebook directly and say, hey, can you take this down?
Right. Gotcha.
Because
that's how it works.
But some of the fake news is life-threatening because a lot of the talking Corona, a lot of the fake news was basically painting out Corona as a hoax.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And it's very dangerous to think that because if you're being brainwashed into thinking Corona's a hoax, and you're running around in the world like everything's fine, that's not a good thing. That puts the public safety at risk. So again, fake news has been a real problem on Facebook. We don't get that on LinkedIn. It just doesn't. People are smart on LinkedIn. Fake news would fly like a brick.
Okay, interesting. And I think I'll just add to that as well. In that, you know, I agree with you that everybody has to be at one and be aligned with the platform that they choose. And at the same time, there are some people that can work with many platforms, but they still have to try and adapt their content to the personality and the energy of that platform.
Which you can't.
Platform has a different energy as well.
Yeah, which you can't, because I'll tell you now, even the top influencers, they all have one platform. They all dominate one platform because they're good at that platform.
Right. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, is this spot on? Just on that point, where I made this mistake and a lot of people do, and I see it, I call it out every day, is trying to make it on all platforms is not a good move. You're not going to take off doing that. You go to a platform and nail it, then you have your support platform. So, for example, one of my great friends, you know, Dr. Steve Turley, he's over 250,000 fans on YouTube.
Wow.
Right? He's doing remarkably well. Oh, you got me back. Thank God. Internet. So Dr. Steve Turley is over 250,000 fans on YouTube. where, and he's killing it on YouTube, where he's, I think he's only got a few thousand followers on LinkedIn.
Wow, incredible. That's a really interesting point. I've never heard that before. Like, I always thought that it would be good to use as many platforms as you can, but just adapt your energy and your personality to the content of that platform. Whereas you're saying, no, dominate one platform and use the others only as a support system.
Yeah, let me use an analogy, right? And I love Michael Jordan, right?
Okay.
What sport is Michael Jordan good at?
Basketball.
Cool. Should Michael Jordan try and master tennis as well?
No, he shouldn't.
Okay. Should he go and master swimming as well?
True. However, Michael Jordan, you know, that's his main source of income is really good point in a way. He's playing the game and he's gifted in that game. But social media, you could say, if you could be gifted at social media and use social media in a range of different platforms, if you're gifted at social media.
I've never seen it. Like, if you look at, especially, you know, the top influencers, be it on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram and all that, right?
Yeah.
I'll use Instagram example. I'm friends with a few really big influencers on Instagram, right? Most of them, you know, attractive young ladies, right? That's Instagram. That's the Instagram universe.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with them via LinkedIn, right? That's how I know them and I've made friends with them and all that. And a few of them are clients because they're using me to break into the LinkedIn universe as well.
That's right.
Right? They've got millions of followers on Instagram. They're not getting that on LinkedIn.
Interesting. Okay, I like that.
But here's the point. Let me go back to the Michael Jordan example. Let's say Michael Jordan decided to never, ever master basketball.
Right.
And you want to try and master three or four sports.
Good point. That's a good analogy. Yeah.
How do you think it would have gone? Do you think we'd know about him?
That's true. Yep, that's a good analogy.
No, wouldn't he? Because if Michael Jordan stopped, you know, played basketball less and started, you know, swimming and or whatever, he's not going to become number one in basketball and we wouldn't know about him.
Yep. Good point. Yep. Interesting.
And this is the whole becoming an expert versus being a dabbler.
Gotcha.
So an expert will pick one thing and nail it. A dabbler will do a bunch of different things and try their luck.
Gotcha. Yep. So in other words, choose a platform that you are innately attuned to, and you've got to be able to strongly execute every day and go all in on that platform.
Yeah, case in point. So for example, I don't feel, I'm talking emotionally here, so the scientific people in the audience be, oh, Ed's talking about his feelings, great, right? You know, let's let's hug a tree and sing kumbaya, right? Let's hold hands around the campfire, right?
Campfire, yep.
I don't feel... Like when I'm on LinkedIn, I feel the platform. I feel it. I get it. I comprehend it.
Yeah.
I don't have that connection. I don't have that connection to Facebook or Instagram. I don't feel the platform. I use it.
Yeah.
I might be, but I'm not feeling that connection.
Okay. I like that. Yeah.
Whereas LinkedIn, I feel that connection and it makes sense to me and hence I'm good at it. That's why I could never take off on Facebook because just be honest with you, everyone.
Yeah.
I could never make it on Facebook and I'd always, you know, be tearing up my hair. Why? And then I realized after I got on LinkedIn, the reason why you never took off on Facebook is because it's not the platform for you.
Perfect. I love it. Very, very sound advice.
Mm.
Very, very sound advice. So now, Ed, if you were to give people some tips and insights into how to best build their brand, market themselves, and become an influencer like you, what would be two or three things you can leave people with and they could implement straight away?
The first thing is, please do not become an influencer like me. Become an influencer like you. You need
love it. Beautiful.
Yep. So point one, please don't be like me. Be the best version of yourself. You need to uncover your own X factor and bring that to the surface.
Great. Okay? I love it.
The second point is, again, I'm a LinkedIn guy. Pick the platform that suits you and what you're trying to do. Right? If it's LinkedIn, great. If it's TikTok, great. I think it's great. I respect all content creators and all platforms.
Yep.
Pick the platform that's for you. And the third thing is launch a really good influencer strategy. Don't just dabble. Approach it like a pro and really dominate. So for example, in my case, I've actually used a lot of Twitter and YouTube thinking to become an influencer on LinkedIn because I actually find LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube have a lot more in common with each other than, let's say, Facebook and LinkedIn.
Wow, very interesting.
So a lot of the thinking from YouTube and Twitter has translated ironically beautifully to LinkedIn. So the point is that use the platforms and focus on the things that make sense to you and run an actual influencer strategy. Don't just dabble.
Gotcha. And actually, give us an example. That's really interesting for me. What would be an example of how, you know, a YouTube way of thinking would work on another platform?
Yeah, I'll use two examples. One of my friends, Dr. Steve Turley, who's massive on YouTube. So check him out. Great guy, Dr. Steve Turley. And another guy I follow, his name's Tim Pool. I don't know. I personally don't know Tim Pool, but I wish I did. He's a great guy. Tim Pool is like an independent journalist and he has millions of followers on his combined channels. Gotcha. And what I noticed that Tim Pool and Steve Turley did, this is when I started really analyzing what they're doing. They would post 5 to 10 times a day on YouTube.
Right. Wow.
And then I thought, I wonder what will happen if I did that on LinkedIn. Gotcha. I was posting maybe once or twice a day on LinkedIn. So with Dr. Steve Turley, when I first saw him, he was like 20,000 fans, and like a year later, it's 250,000 fans. So obviously knows what he's doing. Tim Pool, top YouTube influencer, Tim Pool. Great people. Again, no Steve personally. I don't know Tim Pool personally, but absolutely love the guy. Now, what was interesting is they post five to 10 times a day. And then I started doing that on LinkedIn and my performance just took off the moment I did 5 to 10 times a day. And all those lunatics saying, oh, Ed, you can't do this. I actually went back to some of the lunatics that were giving me bad advice, right? And I said, look, I'm now posting 10 times a day and I'm absolutely taking off. You said I can only post 2 times a day. How do you respond to that? And I ended up blocking some of them because they'd weasel out of it. Well, I never said that, Ed. What I meant was... And then I go back into the LinkedIn comments and go, this is what you said right here, you know, 5 weeks ago. Oh, well, that was different. What I meant was, and yeah, they just wouldn't take, the people I pushed back on wouldn't take responsibility for their comments.
Love it. But what I'm hearing from you is, very rightly so, is that you are always observing what's happening on other platforms and observing how you can adapt what you're doing on whichever chosen platform to the best of your ability. So it's really just being aware of what's happening out there and always questioning, always experimenting, always being open to trying new things and trying to adapt them, apply them and test them and seeing what happens.
Totally. And it's been great. And interestingly enough, the strange part of my journey is I find Twitter, YouTube and LinkedIn have a lot in common.
Okay.
On the surface, they might, but I don't think a lot of things I learn on Facebook just don't apply on LinkedIn.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Interestingly enough, a lot of things I've learned on YouTube work beautifully on LinkedIn.
There you go. Yep. And definitely LinkedIn is great for just little one or two lines, little bits of text. LinkedIn is fantastic for that.
Yep. Yeah, text, I think.
It's more like a Twitter phenomenon.
Yeah, exactly. I never thought of that. Good point. Like, I could be wrong on this one. But my understanding is the only platforms where text only works well is, of course, Twitter and LinkedIn, whereas it tends to bomb on Facebook and you can't do text only on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right?
They need more visual accompaniment.
Yeah. Oh, you just can't do text. It's either just upload a photo or a video. You can't do text. You can't go post on Instagram and go hello.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and I've never, and full respect to TikTokers out there. I decided to stay away from TikTok. I don't want to touch it, right? I want to be a TikTok virgin for my entire life, right? Never want to experience the tender love of TikTok. And I don't know TikTok, but I don't know if you can put text in there or not, but the text only works great on LinkedIn and of course works great on Twitter.
It does. So some very, very good advice there for everybody is be who you are, be authentic. Choose the platform that works for you and that you find you're connected to and have a plan, have a strategy. Don't just do things willy-nilly without a plan because that doesn't really lead to results.
Yeah. And just on that, I love, because I'm a huge, again, I'm a real man of the 90s, right? I'm arguably still stuck in the 90s, right? And I've always been a Michael Jordan fan. And again, and I remember hearing this, again, I'm not much of a basketball player. I sucked at it. But what Michael Jordan would do, apparently he would just sit there for hours, just under the hoop, just shooting over and over again. Just like, you're the one pointers. Just,
yep.
No one, most people could do it, but he would just sit there for an hour, just do it over and over again. So you could probably, you know, hit him over the head with a chair and get him drunk and he'd still get a one-pointer, right? That's he had right. that muscle memory. Right?
Yep. And, you know, we can use the same analogy and philosophy towards what we're doing every day with social media and with work.
Exactly.
Practice, practice, practice. You know, you can't create something that's meaningful out of nothing. You have to do the work.
And you got to be a professional. The whole dabbling thing, again, if Michael Jordan went and tried, you know, swimming and I don't know, fencing and stuff, him fencing, that'll be funny, right? Yeah, yeah. But he would never, we wouldn't be talking about him. He'd just be another athlete out there. He wouldn't be the Michael Jordan.
That's right. Yeah. Very good point. Awesome, Ed. Well, look, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's been a fantastic discussion. We chatted a bit about your past, about your personal philosophies. You've given us some great tips and the audience some great tips on how to start on their influencer journey. So really appreciate you coming and stopping by.
It's a pleasure. And I just want to say the audience as well. Honestly, I have not known Darren for that long, but I found Darren to be an amazing guy who puts out some great ideas. So if you are watching this, please make sure you follow with, connect with Darren and really support his content, because I don't know a lot about Darren in all honesty, but what I know, I like.
I love it, Ed. Thank you so much. And for the audience, we didn't plan that. But Ed, I really appreciate that. You know, much, much appreciated. Very nice of you. And if the audience would like to see Ed back on the show, please send me a message or an email to darren@suspendedanimation.com.au. Ask us what you would like us to discuss next time. And we'd only be too happy to bring Ed back for round two. And that actually brings me to one last point. Is Ed, if the people want to, and the audience want to connect with you, what's the best way to do it?
LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, feel free to connect with me. The only thing is that on LinkedIn, if you want to connect with me, you have to do a personal message. You have to say, Darren Saul is a handsome man. So if you don't type that in, I won't connect with you. But if you say connect, personalized message, Darren Saul's a handsome man, I will gladly accept your connection.
You're a good bloke. And actually, that's a really good point. Not that I'm a handsome man, but...
You are a handsome man.
On LinkedIn, yep. Once you reach 30,000 followers, isn't it true that you can't actually connect with anybody else?
No, different. I'll explain it. It took me a while to figure this out too, so I'll explain it. Yeah. So on LinkedIn, you have connections and followers.
Right.
Now, a connection is someone you're connected to, much like a Facebook. When you're directly connected, you can message, see all the details.
Gotcha.
That has a cap of 30,000.
Uh-huh.
A follower is someone who's subscribed to your content.
Right.
A follower can also be a connection, or a follower cannot be a connection but following your content.
Gotcha. But a connection is automatically a follower. Is that right?
Yes, until they unfollow. So let's say someone friends you on LinkedIn, right? Okay, that's a Facebook term. Someone connects with you on LinkedIn. You don't friend on LinkedIn, you connect. I get my terminology straight, right?
Gotcha.
But let's say someone connects with you on LinkedIn. You will automatically, if you accept that connection, you automatically follow each other's content.
Gotcha.
That person may want to remain connected to you, but they'll unfollow you, not because they hate you, but they just don't want to see your content. Maybe it's irrelevant or whatever the case may be. Or they're just racist and they don't like your skin color because I'm not white, right? There you go. They're racist towards poor Ed, right? So, whatever reason, right? Yeah, so, if you unfollow me, it means you're racist because I'm a Middle Eastern guy. Anyway, the point I'm making, as a follower though, this bit I'm not too sure of. So I'm sure someone who's more of a LinkedIn coach would explain this better than me, but my understanding is, I think I'm slightly wrong, but I'll say it as best as I understand it. But if someone obviously hits a follow key, they'll follow you. Or if they like and comment on your content, they'll automatically start following you. But I'm not...
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't... what I've noticed is that of the big influencers, I've liked and commented on their content. And then I realize I'm automatically following them.
That's right. Because they automatically keep appearing in your feed.
Yeah. And when I checked, I got no problem because I like that influencer.
Yeah.
But I'm automatically following. So I think I could be wrong here. So please correct me, anyone from LinkedIn or anyone watching. But I think what happens is that when you like and comment on someone, you automatically follow them. But I could be wrong on that, but I think that's how it works.
Gotcha. Okay, fantastic. Well, I mean, some great advice there for people that really want to understand the nuances of LinkedIn. But if you want to get in touch with Ed, there you go. That's how you do it.
And what do they have to put in the message, Darren, to connect with me?
They have to put that Darren Sawyer is a very handsome man. So I appreciate that compliment from Ed. well, Ed, thank you very, very much, mate, for coming on the show. And as I said, we'd love to have you back. And for all the audience out there, we hope you enjoyed that content. It is certainly a very insightful and entertaining gentleman. And we love spending time with him. So for everybody out there, have a great day. And we'll see you very, very soon for our next episode.